Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And today, the OGs that will be gracing us with their problems and the successes they learned and the knowledge they learned from the problems, because that's how you become an OG. You got to step in poo, then you got to clean off the shoe, and then figure out how not to step poo in poo again. Is that a good description?
Oh, I thought you was going to keep going person? With the rhyming scheme. I thought you were going to keep going.
I could have kept going. I was trying to keep it where I don't, you know, lose myself a little bit too much, get lost in the sauce. But step in crap, feel like crap, get rid of feeling like crap, and try not to rinse and repeat that.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
You got it. Jeez.
So on the call today is Jason. What's up, Jason?
Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you too, man. That's the beauty about Zoom while we're doing this. I can see you while we're talking. Mm-hmm. And Mr. K. Scott himself.
What's going on, guys? From live at 5 or live at 6.
Yeah. Out here, hey, tell your wife Texas. I'm still waiting for those cookies to show up, man.
Oh, shoot. Hold on.
I'm just kidding.
I thought you did
kidding.
The order. I said, oh, let's go. Let me make sure.
I'm just kidding. I haven't put in my order yet. The only reason why I didn't put in my order, and a little shameless plug, if you don't know, his wife makes the bombest cookies. Tell them where they can find them at.
Yes, you can find her cookies at roseleebakery.com. And so she got these famous banana pudding cookies, red velvet
slaps.
Cookies, birthday cake. So good.
You're going to
bite your finger on accident.
And you won't even know it. You won't even know you hurt yourself.
At all.
Wait a minute. What? How do you spell Rosalie?
So it's a rose and an L-Y at the end. Rosalie and then bakery together, roseleebakery.com.
Oh, really? Okay. Hey, I'm on now right here.
Jason is also cookie friendly.
Yeah, uh-oh. I just bought the whole store. Oh, man. Rosalie, get busy with this cooking, man. This
right.
This looks awesome. All right. Thanks, K. Scott.
Oh, yeah, man. It. So, yeah, I didn't. I was just messing with her. Don't tell her I didn't get my order. I didn't actually place it yet. It's coming, though. It's coming. So, all right. Well, you got the question for us today. For everyone that's been listening to us today, well, not today, but now we're starting this where it could be Jason, could be myself, Rojo, and Kenneth Scott. Any one of us could be on the podcast. We'll be answering questions still from parents and teenagers, but we'll be doing it together. And we'll also be sliding in some questions that are more business related. Because as you guys know, anyone that's ever worked at a job, owned a company, sometimes there's relationship problems that can slow up the company's success, progress, and can sometimes flat out destroy a company. Would you guys agree with that?
Once in a while. No. Yeah.
Jeez, once in a while.
Yeah, once in a while. So we're going to be adding some of those questions in here because that's what we speak about as OG Therapy. This is our team. We speak to high schools, community events, and also businesses about something called social health. And oddly enough, the question that we got today is revolved around social health. So Kay, why don't you cue that question up for us?
That's perfect. And before I get started, just want to make sure you guys are tuned in to all of our channels, whether that's Apple Podcasts, making sure you like, subscribe, leave a review for us. Tell us which one of us is the best good looking, whatever the comment may be. Make sure you share.
All right. Oh, shoot. We're going to go there. Okay. Okay.
Oh, no.
Are we going just from the chin up?
Yeah, let's go from the chin down, up, man. You know,
okay, chin up me. If chin up, me and Jason got a chance. We got a chance.
Yeah, y'all got
the chin
that
up.
Suave hair going.
Yeah,
on.
But if we're going the chin down, I think the youngest OG on the call might have us beat in that one.
Yeah. I think I'm just gonna mute my screen.
Mute your screen. Yeah. I tell you what, Jason. Jason, why don't you do this? Why don't you take off a shirt and take a selfie? Kenneth, you take off your shirt, take a selfie, and we'll put that comparison up there. I'm not doing it, but Jason will do it.
Yeah, I do. We'll lose some subscribers. We'll get some new ones, right? But we won't want them.
We won't want the new subscribers that like us for that. So
that's right.
Well, let's go ahead.
So like you said, follow us on Instagram. We're OG.therapy. On YouTube, we're just OG Therapy now. And on any podcast that you follow and listen to podcasts, we're now OG Therapy. We're not Light the Fight anymore. All the Light the Fight episodes are on the channel, though. So if you want to go get some of those oldie but goodies, you can find them there. So.
So boom. Okay. All right. So on to the question. This is a long question, but I'm going to slow it down just a little bit for you guys to understand it. So the question is, hey, guys, I've struggled with my social health for a long time. I have troubles connecting with others and end up pushing away connections I have because of self-doubt. I'm going to college at the U this fall, and I'm really worried about starting new. Do you have any tips for making friends and building real relationships in a new environment such as college? What you got?
Well, first off, I want to congratulate this person for choosing to go to the University of Utah.
Whoop, whoop.
Because there's other schools in the state that they could have chose to go to, such as BYU, wow, Utah wow, State, wow. And I think I think Kay Scott and I both are Utah friendly to say the least, right? Mm-hmm. So congratulations that you're going to go to the Utah University of Utah, the main school in Utah. I'll leave it at that. And second, congratulations. There's nothing better for your social health than to go to college. Mm-hmm. Nothing better. I mean, it's the amount of opportunities socially that you're going to have. I'm not saying it won't make it impossible to be able to still be isolated and shut yourself down. I'm not saying it's not gonna be possible. It's not gonna be impossible to do that, because it's still possible. However, it's a lot harder, especially if you're living in the dorms. I really do hope that you're planning on living in the dorms your freshman year. I think everyone should live in the dorms at least their freshman year. It's a great way to be right in the mix of everything, get in the school culture. You know, as athletes, they make us stay in the dorms our freshman year. Some schools, I was just at San Diego State, they have a rule at their school, is they make the whole student body, freshmen and sophomores, have to stay in the dorms for 2 years. And they do that on purpose so that it creates a greater culture, so that 10, 20 years down the road, that alumni will be stronger because they spent more time together. And I think it's a genius idea. Mm-hmm. So congrats to you for making those two decisions. But let me start off by, I think we should really just kind of describe what social health is. So they said social health in this because they heard us at a presentation. We gave a description of social health. We had, you know, the PowerPoint up there. They could see the definition. But I haven't really laid it out. I think we've just kind of brushed over it really quickly when we do the podcast. So here's the actual definition of social health that I created with the help of many teenagers throughout the course of, you know, about 10, 12 years. Social health is one's ability to build, maintain, and improve mutually benefiting relationships with all the following, but not limited to family, friends, peers, coworkers, online relationships, relationships with technology, relationships with your environment, and most importantly, the relationship with yourself. Now, the environment one and technology one, I've had some people ask me, because they got the family, friends, even relationship with yourself, like, you know, that makes sense. Online relationships when you're talking with people. But a couple of people have asked me why in the definition is relationship with technology and relationship environment. Why would that be important to achieve good social health? And the answer is very simple. Your environment determines a lot of how you will see a social situation. So if you are a person that around two or three of your best friends after a sporting event or when you're hanging out, you're charismatic, you're funny, you're telling jokes, you're just kind of in your zone, right? Your jokes are actually funny because you're not stressed, you're just being relaxed. That environment could be an environment where you thrive. But what happens if those two friends leave the room? What happens if you have to go order some food? What happens if you have to go meet some new people? What happens if you have to go to a job interview? If you have, you know, if you have to meet with your boss because you made a mistake. So your environment is going to determine what level of anxiety or what level of fears or worries that you're going to have, because our brain is hardwired for this reaction to anything that could kill us. So when people are stressed and scared and worried, it's really a notification that they don't feel safe. Now, I know it's been more of a popular opinion in recent years that we should do everything we can to keep our kids safe. I agree. But I think kids is a very important word. I don't think we should do everything in our power to keep our teenagers and our young adults safe. I think they have to learn that they're anti-fragile. Now, when I say safe, to be very specific, obviously you want your kids to not be harmed, not have anything bad happen to them in a legal sense, someone mistreat them, you know, some kids bully your kid, beat them up for the way that they look, whatever. That's what I want to talk about. I'm talking about when you become a teenager and a young adult, the world is not safe. So we can't send kids from an overly safe environment into a non-safe environment and be like, good luck. Just remember the golden rule, treat everybody as you want to be treated. You don't have to protect yourself. You don't have to defend yourself. If anyone makes you feel uncomfortable, just avoid that person and only hang out with the people who make you feel safe. Oh, wait, no human beings make you feel safe. Okay, hang out just solely on your phone by yourself in the room without any human interaction. So the reason why I added that environment and with technology is technology really is the vehicle and the environment. You know, if you're up in the mountains, hey, you may not have a lot of social anxiety, but you better keep your head on a six because you should have some nature, not anxiety, but you should just be, make sure you know where you're at, right?
Right.
Like I go surfing, I try not to surf when I'm bleeding for obvious reasons. I did that over my birthday in Hawaii, would not suggest anyone do that. Very dangerous. 2 weeks later, a guy got bit by and lost his foot by a tiger shark about 3/4 mile away from what I was surfing. So not a good idea. If you're in the mountains, you know, figure out, hey, if you see a bear, how do you handle that? Bring your bear spray. You know, a mountain lion, you see a mountain lion, there's certain things you don't want to do. You don't want to turn and run from a cat full speed. Okay. So I'm giving those examples because if you know how to handle your environment, if you know how to interface with technology and you have a good, healthy relationship with technology, and you figured out how you got to act and behave to have a healthy relationship with technology, maybe you have to turn off notifications. Maybe you have to put your phone away in certain situations. Maybe you know that if you go to a public event where there's 10,000 people, it's going to give you an anxiety attack. Well, hey, figure out that later. But for right now, maybe just go to a smaller concert. So these are very important things to have good social health, because who do you think you're going to, what version of you yourself do you think is going to be more articulate, more open, more friendly, make, you know, have better fun just in general in an environment where you typically freak out, or an environment where you kind of are testing yourself a little bit. So that's why I say with teenagers and adults, yes, we want them to be challenged. We want them to experiment different with different types of situations. With your kids, we want to keep them safe, but how do we take a kid from being safe to be an adult who can help themselves be safe, right? So that's what social health is in a genuine thing. It's like, if you have better social health, better relationships, you're going to live longer, your mental health is going to be better, and your physical health is going to be better. And that's not my opinion. Plenty of research and studies about that. Longevity, anywhere from 8 to 15 years longer if you have better friends. Simple math. If people like you and you get sick, they'll fundraise for you. If people hate you and you've been rude and disrespectful and haven't been like a team player and you have a hard time or you get fired, people are like, oh yeah, we're not having a cake, a goodbye party, nothing for you.
Nothing.
Okay, nothing. Same thing. If you got a couple good friends that are like all like, hey, we want to get back in better shape, want better health, like me too. And you guys all go to the gym and push each other and work out. The probability of your success is so much greater than if you just try to do the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. Mm-hmm. Right. So as I just laid out social health, before we get to answering that question, I'm interested in hearing Kay and Jason, what your guys' thoughts are when you hear me say that, and you hear this person talking about they having bad social health. When you hear social health, we'll start with Jason. When you hear social health, Jason, what do you think of is how important is social health to one's person's happiness and overall well-being?
Yeah, I love how you phrased all that. Thanks for the definition. That even helped me to think through that better for myself. I'll say that I am somebody who loves to isolate, because I get so much done and I'm very comfortable being alone. I'm a traveling speaker and entertainer. So I have to be alone for 23 hours at a time before I'm in front of thousands of people for an hour and they love me.
Yeah.
And then I disappear back into the hotel or airplane and fly away. And so my social health has been compromised by oftentimes saying I would rather isolate. I'd rather be alone and deal with my own challenges by myself. And so a big part of social health to me, as you've taught me, has been to keep the promise to myself to allow for other people to come into my universe, into my my problems or my challenges, my shame or embarrassment, sharing with them the vulnerability, the stuff that most people aren't seeing from me on a social level, and allowing the certain very, very special people to me, like you guys have become that for me, where I'm like, I'm going to let these men that I didn't know very well, even a couple months ago, help create something better of me. And so that's why, you know, you guys are OGs. I know you've been there, done that. I can now be a better version of myself because I'm keeping a promise to myself to say, I want better social health. And so when I think about it, it's a lot about me allowing other people into my world. When I think about the word social media, for example, a lot of people just focus on the media part, but social is the first part of that word. That's interacting, that's commenting, that's posting what somebody said or congratulating them. There's this interaction piece that I think so often we're only receiving the negative, but we could way more reinforce the positive. And I love what you said about not keeping the kids safe in the sense of getting them ready. Chris Rock did one of the great bits of all time. I wish I could remember it word for word, but it's about when he put his daughter into school and they said, we have, you know, however his voice, we have no bullying here at our school. We don't allow bullies. And I said, what are you talking about? Every person in their life is going to be a bully. I need them to learn about it now. They're going to have bullies as a boss and bully as a manager. I need them to get with it and know how to handle a bully. I did that.
That's a good Chris Rock impression. He's out. Dang, that bully.
God, that bully. But he said some very strong words.
Yeah.
And I love this routine because I'm sitting there like, that is so right. I know as a dad, I'm like, oh, I hope my kids don't get bullied. And then after I heard that, I was like, okay, it's okay to have some bullies. They better learn how to handle it now.
Yeah.
The whole life from here on out is, how do you handle a bully? How do you have a crucial conversation? How do you have good stability, mental health, but then create social health with the interactions of others and functioning through this life? And so I feel that the work you're doing, David, is some of the most important work there is in this whole world. So I appreciate what you've created here and how you've taught me to keep the promise to myself to do it better.
Well, I appreciate that insight too, Jason. I know what skit, I know what bit you're talking about. And he did another one of those bits in his recent act. I don't know if you've seen the recent one on Netflix. He did the bit, a little spoiler work, if you haven't watched his new Netflix special. Spoiler. He said that his daughter's going to this really rich white school. He says something funny. He's like, yeah, I'm rich, but I identify as poor. But he talked about his daughter's going to this really rich school, and then they all get in trouble on this trip, vacate, like it was, they're in Europe, they all sneak out, they all get in trouble, they say, hey, they broke the rules, they're going to get kicked out of school. All the parents who are attorneys and lawyers, they're like, if you kick my daughter, they're threatening all stuff like that. He's like, I call the principal, I'm like, you kick my daughter out of school. Kick her out. Kick her out. I do not want no entitled, lazy. I grew up in the Bronx. And so he was the only parent that said, kick her out. And it's that same type of thing where you're not saying, you're not wishing harm upon your kid. You're wishing reality now instead of later. You want them to taste it now. And if you're socially healthier, just like, you know, you talked about, Jason, then you will find out very quickly that you're not scared of the challenge. You want to get better at it. My fear right now is that our country is at least as equally socially unhealthy that we've become physically unhealthy. And if you didn't know this, the obesity rates, I can go on and on and on about, you know, the health and the diet nutrition of our country as a whole, right? A lot of other countries mock us and make fun of us. I mean, Jason knows, you go throughout the rest of the world. It's like, yeah, the Americans are Hollywood, this, that, and diabetic, out of shape. Like they mock it and laugh it, right? And granted, obviously not everyone in the whole entire country, but there's enough that our statistics have really showed that physically we become unhealthy. But I think there's an argument that socially we're as equally unhealthy.
That's real.
Okay, what are some of your thoughts?
Bobby, I had to burp for a second. I didn't want to burp on camera.
That's right. So, yeah, don't burp those Rosalie cookies up on camera.
Right? It'll be all over the place. But, you know,
you got to lean into that, Kay. When they come, you just got to go, rawr!
side note, if you can watch this on camera, everybody, this is the best entertainment you're going to get. This is why he's a Hall of Fame speaker.
If you want to watch this on camera, you got to go to www.patreon.com/OG Therapy. Now, it should be OG Therapy as of today. I should have checked it before I got on the call, but yes, OGTherapy.com. Couple extra bucks a month, you can see it. You can see us live. So go ahead, Kay.
Yeah, I was gonna say that reel. I mean, that what Jason did for that Chris Rock thing, that needs to be its own reel. Like that was hilarious. Like for real though. But just like I always do, you know, whenever I'm listening to OGs like Jason and Kaz, myself, you know, I like to take notes. And two of the things that stuck out to me was one from Kaz. He was talking about the environment. And when I think about social health and I'm thinking about environment, I'm thinking of it like a garden. Right. You plant your seed, you tend to it carefully, and eventually it's going to thrive. Right. Put the right elements around it. But if you don't, that thing going to die. You're going to be there with a dead plant. And so when it comes to social health, it's all about, you know, watering, putting the proper sunlight into it. And then Jason, when he was talking about the functionalities of social health, you know, I'm thinking about, let's talk about like our phones. Right. Yep. All our phones perform at an optimal level. And so you need to connect with people to get you to that optimal level to where you can function properly. And if you're at 100%, it's okay to unplug sometimes and go by yourself. Like Jason mentioned, he said he likes to, you know, tap into a place and he likes to be alone at times. And that's okay. Just as long as you know where you're able to function optimally at and whatever your ranges are. So, you know, listening to you guys talk about social health, I can't express the importance of it. Like, to break it down even simpler, like when I'm thinking about social health, it's all about connecting, thinking of it as a web, you know, a spider web, even though I love Batman, think about it as a spider web, connecting with individuals, communicating with them. And then that's how you're going to thrive, you know, within this social health scheme.
Yeah. You know, when I like that you said with a spider web. One thing that we learned from spider webs, and it's a great metaphor, is that the feedback on the data through a spider web is very, very powerful. So if you just touch the tip of a spider web, boing, it rattles across the whole entire web. It's uploading data to the spider about what's going on. So if you look at networking, when people say you got to network, you got to build relationships. Most time when you hear people saying that, they're saying money comes from building relationships. They're not saying, hey, build relationships. And then if the relationships are fortified, they're strong, they can test over a year, 2 years, sometimes decades, those relationships and those rewards from putting time and attention in those relationships will give to your survival, your family survival. It could be your business, it could be your health, it could be reputation, it could be people helping you out when you're a difficult time. It will pay you back tenfold. And that's that spider web. That's that spider web. It's like, hey, listen, if you put out a web out there and that web is connecting with the wrong people, they're going to be giving you bad feedback. They're going to be giving you feedback that something's wrong with you, when in reality, they can't praise you for your success because they don't feel successful. They're in a competition with you and you didn't even know you're in a competition with them. Kids deal with this all the time. Like, why is my good friend, why are they like giving me all these problems? Why they're acting weird with me? Come to find out that you and your good friend are on the same team, but you're a starter and they're on the bench. Or it could be a dating situation. Hey, how come my good friend, this one girl told me one time, my one best friend, you know, lately he's been acting really weird. And like, he's saying things like, oh yeah, we used to be best friends. I go, let me guess, have you started dating someone recently? She goes, yeah, as a matter of fact, I have. Maybe that air quotes best friend, right? Maybe that best friend was just playing that Nelson nice guy game, trying to get close with you. And so you're not getting that good feedback when, you know, when he touches the spider web.
That's crazy.
Man, No, I'm just saying, let me just say how cool it is. The case, Scott, you gave the definition, you mentioned a spider web. And then Kaz weaves this tapestry for the next 5 minutes on spider webs. I just love that we can watch this home run being hit by the one thing you say. So keep going, K. Scott.
Man, I was going to say, speaking of spider web, we're going to keep on going with it. That's another thing, how we're going to start this LinkedIn thing, man. you know, with all these connections and stuff like that, putting this social health out there, you know, building our brand through LinkedIn as well, so it could touch not only the, you know, the teams, to the parents, to the businesses, because, you know, like we always said, business is business, but business is also personal, and people run the businesses. So if we can connect to the people,
that's right,
we can be able to connect to higher power. So,
well, I think, hey, this is good,
web, baby.
Yeah, I think this is a good way to answer the question for the person that sent this in, because it's twofold. What we're doing as OG Therapy is we're taking our time, building the podcast, building the assemblies, just doing these types of things, building the relationships with people, because we're not trying to develop an organization or a business that's based upon what can other people do for us. We're based upon, hey, we've been helping people. Kay, you've been doing this just with your own friends and kids you teach and coach and people that you work with in the domestic violence, domestic abuse industry that you work in. Jason, you're a great example of in your personal life, your professional life, you put relationships above everything else. Think of how much more money you'd have in your bank account, both of you, if you put money above relationships. Mm. For the short time, you would have more money, but I guarantee you'd have less friends, less respect, less trust.
Real.
Right. You may pinch some pennies over here, might get you a new car, but that money is not the long money. This isn't the chess game. You'd be playing checkers. And so to answer this question, what we're doing with our organization is the same thing that I want you to do when you go to school. People care about you based upon how you make their life better. Unfortunately, in the college age, some people have had this experience where that if you have some sort of clout, if you have some sort of popularity, some notoriety, there's something outwardly attractive about you, you may get a lot of followers, you may get some, you know, some quasi friends, I guess you could call it, because you have something that everybody else wants to hitch their wagon to. Mm-hmm. However, fortunately, a lot of people went through high school, had bad social experiences, and they're not looking for friends to make them look good, like make them look cool. They're looking for relationships that make them feel good. Mm. Personal progress versus personal progression. I mean, personal progression versus personal comfort. Mm. In friendships, you go to the University of Utah, anyone listening to this, if you put social health as a priority, then you're going to be looking for more personal progression on a day-to-day basis with friends, with your teachers, with everybody, than you are for personal comfort. If you're seeking personal comfort, you're also going to find other people who are seeking personal comfort. Those are very surface relationships. If you're looking for personal progression, then you're going to find people just by, because you're going to be interested in, you know, putting work in your own self. You're going to be doing some of the same things that they'll be doing, whether it's reading books, exercising, what have you. When you put the personal progression as a priority, you'll find out that there's kids out there that'll be like, hey, I'm good at this class. I'll come over and I'll help you stay, you know, I'll help you up late to study for this. Why would you do that? You're my friend. Yeah. They don't want anything from, they're not posting at night, taking a selfie. Look, I helped them get an A in this class. You know, if it wasn't for me, at Jason Hewlett wouldn't have passed biology. If it wasn't for me, K. Scott wouldn't have got an A in statistics, which, by the way, I couldn't pass any of those classes. They're just an example. But think about it. Going into college, if you want to put social health first, then you have to realize what social health really is. Mm-hmm. If you help people's lives be more manageable, just be more comfortable and more better because life is hard, then not every one of those people, but the majority of those people will remember you and associate you with benefiting their life. So guess what that means? You matter. To some people, you'll matter this much. To some people, you'll matter this much. And to some people, they're like, my life would literally not be the same if it wasn't for you. In fact, I've had lots of people tell me that their closest friends and relationships have been such a key component in developing their own personality and their own sense of self. What do you guys think about that?
Okay, Scott.
You know, when I think about it, because when I first moved or transitioned from football to the real world, I had to rely deeply on relationships because I didn't necessarily have the work experience basically the work experience in order to get certain jobs. And
you
so
had zero work experience.
Zero. None.
Zero. So but you had a college degree.
That's it. That big old picture, you know? And so I, you know, first thing I did was tap into my network. And because of the way I tapped into my network, it allowed me opportunities. And that's the value in these relationships, you know, that you're talking about, especially when you're going through the college ranks. You know, there are people out there that's willing to help you, especially that are connected to you, that aren't really necessarily looking out for their own success from you doing so good. They just doing it because they just want to see the best for you.
They wish someone would help them out like that.
Boom. Exactly. I'm just paying it forward because someone did that for me. And so,
or nobody did it for them and they wish someone did. That happens a lot too.
That's real. Yeah. So I'm just paying it forward so that you can hopefully one day do that for someone else. So, you know, I love it.
Jason, what are your thoughts?
I'm thinking about my own situation because I didn't end up going to college. I went straight to Las Vegas for my career to begin.
You're a sinner. Continue.
I am a sinner, and I tell you what, it was interesting. But, you know, a lot of people don't believe this about me because they've only seen me on stage. Mm. But I'm an extremely introverted person who utilizes extroversion to make a living.
Yeah.
And so
it's your trade, not your go-to. Good.
It is my trade. And that's so good. I'm thinking about this person who asked this question, who's walking into this college environment or any schooling situation, even a social mixer at a convention, let's say, where it's extremely awkward for somebody, especially that's an introverted person. I'll just candidly say, for me, it was always about how can I get on stage so they can see me and like me? And that was a real problem for me because there were times when I would get to the place and there was no stage to be had. And then what? And so what did I have to offer? I found a book when I was younger called, and it's probably the worst title in the history of books, but it's How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And it was published in 1931. So almost 100 years ago, this crazy title book was written, but it's helped a lot of people like me. And it really, you don't need to read it if you don't want to, but I'll tell you, the crux of it is learn other people's names, help them get what they want, and serve them, just like David already said. And I'll tell you what, if you can walk up to somebody, give them a compliment that's proper, find out about them, ask them questions about themselves. That's really what I became, was somebody who asked really good questions in order to learn more about other people. And I preferred one-on-one conversations to a group of five or six people and trying to make my way into that group. But when I found ways to serve, to give, to offer any kind of, you know, listening ear, because I knew there were other people like me that were awkwardly wishing they could leave. I know that was the quickest way to success for me in a social health environment. And that was how it was created for me, was asking the right questions of people to let them talk about themselves. And nobody loves to hear their own name or their own voice more than the person talking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, in a college scenario and situation, this is perfect too, for what we were just talking about, because when kids are going to college and they ask me, okay, how do I make more friends? How to improve my social health? I say, okay, tell me everything that you don't like to do. They go, well, I'm not a person that likes to go to football games, because like in high school, like, oh, it's just this trendy thing. Okay. I'm not a person that goes to dances. Okay. What are some things that you don't like about social situations? Well, you know, I'll go to these types of parties, but I won't go to these types of parties. Okay. So they give me the list of all the things they don't want to do. And I actually have them write it out in front of me. Tell me a list of all the things you don't want to do and a short little sentence why. Then they give me a list to say, okay, these are all the things you're going to do the first month of college.
Exactly.
And they go, wait, what? I go, no. Because what you've told me is that my old self, who is scared of my own freaking shadow, who is insecure, nervous, for whatever reason it was, maybe bad experience or just your own nerves, whatever, that person avoided these situations because it made me feel uncomfortable. You were going to college. There's not a better time to rewrite your story and to create a different persona if needed, right? Sometimes you got to fake a little bit till you make it. Yep. Hey, I'm not a socially active person. Well, nobody knows that because nobody freaking knows you. Right. So go to parties like you are social. Go to the football games. You guys, every single client I've done this to comes back like, fun. You're right. I know you want to hear me tell you you're right. I had an amazing time. I hated fraternities, but I went to a frat party, met some people, had a great time, had some good stories. Now I've been there twice since I've talked to you last. I don't like football, but I went to a football game. Like, I don't know if you knew this. You don't have to like football to go to the football game. That's where everybody's at. Like, I don't freaking, there's a lot of things I don't like, but if there's something there that is valuable to me, I'm going to go. Kid came back. He was like, went to a football game. I go, how was it? He said, it was the best time of my life. I go, why? Just the energy, the excitement. I don't even know the rules of the game. But after that game, I went home, I watched NFL football, and I've never watched football. I go, do you like football or do you like the emotional memory of football now? He goes, I like the emotional memory. I go, so how does it make you look at football? He goes, I'm a fan of the University of Utah. He's like, I bought a shirt that says Utah football on it. And the kid said he didn't even like football before. So whatever happened when he was younger, bullied by a kid on the football team, that stuff didn't matter anymore because that kid wasn't on the University of Utah football team that bullied him in grade school. Now, that had nothing to do with that. So your social fears, your social phobias stop you from being inviting and opening yourself up to other people. You have to send it. If you send it and put yourself in social situations, the worst case scenario that usually happen is you can say, okay, I tried that. I don't really prefer this. I prefer these types of parties or these types of people. I like this frat house better than that frat house. I like this sorority better than that one. I like this sport better than that one. Hey, there's something for everyone, but you have to put it out there.
That's real. I often say you find motivation through exploration, right? You discover the things you need to discover once you step out there and actually go. So that's right on topic. What I usually be preaching to these kids, especially.
Well, I like that, man. I like that. Say that again, Kenneth.
You find motivation through exploration,
which all right, you guys expansion. You guys heard it here on OG Therapy. Right there, that's the mic drop moment. Okay, Jason, give us the sound drop for that. Boop, boop, boop,
boop. Yeah, let's see where is it? I'm not queued up here. Let's see, man.
Get on
Uh-oh.
It.
Oh, yeah, put that as a reel.
There it is.
There you go.
That was the most delayed air horn of all time for a mic drop.
Our producer Jordan, you might have to like cut out that dead space, make us look cooler. Actually, we don't usually edit anything on the podcast. Leave it in; it sounds funnier. Yeah.
Here, say the line one more time, Casey.
Say it one more time. We'll practice. Right. We'll practice.
Let's do it. This is a practice. You find motivation through exploration.
All right, you guys. Well, you guys heard it first here in OG Therapy. Remember, you can follow us on Instagram. You can follow us on YouTube. If you want to follow me, it's David_KOZLOWSKI_. Jason, how can they follow you?
Jason Hewlett, and that's HEWLETT, either on LinkedIn, Instagram, anywhere.
Boom. And then for me on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, it's KScott_2.
All right. Well, you guys, thank you for following us. Thank you for listening to us. Go follow us on YouTube, all of our social media. And remember, don't stress, don't worry, because when life's got you down on your knees, you can just come to your OGs. Until next time, you guys, have a good one.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.